Our reading from the scriptures this evening is found in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in years, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord hath made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels were done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of 1/2 shekel weight and 2 bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, I have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my father Abraham, who hath not left desolate my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before them him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and has given him flocks and herds, and silver and gold, and men servants and maid servants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then thou shalt be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh down to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my for my master's son. And behold, I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands, and I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her master, her mother, precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." And he said unto them, "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." And they called Rebekah and said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, "Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebekah arose and her camels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant took Isaac, told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac took her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. The great details of this record of Scripture is an indication of the importance that God places on it. We have to be careful with saying that, because that's not always exactly the case, but it certainly seems to be the case here. God wants us to see and learn many different things about this history. And it's interesting that the first sermons that Isaac and Rebekah Peters have to hear is about the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. We know that Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah. So Abraham is 140 at this time. Sarah died 3 years earlier. This is when Abraham is moved with a concern that he find a wife for Isaac. 40 years old, his wife is dead, and now he has this great concern, very serious concern, takes his most trusted servant and gives him this assignment. Doesn't send Isaac, he sends his servant. He wants to keep Isaac in the land of Canaan. That's the land that God said, "To thee and to thy seed will I give it." He didn't want him even to begin to venture forth to go elsewhere. He stayed here, and he sent his servant, his trusted servant, to go back to Ur of the Chaldees in order to find a wife. We consider that concern first, and then we want to look at the way in which that servant sought a wife for Isaac. And then finally, we look at the consummation of that relationship and the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Abraham's concern. It's not uncommon for us to hear parents whose children have been married for a while to address their friends and say, well, we're kind of waiting for grandchildren. That's not Abraham's concern. Abraham's concern is spiritual, not just natural desire to shed his love on grandchildren. His concern arises out of his faith. Throughout all of the 18 or 19 sermons that we've had on the life of Abraham, we've seen Abraham to be a man of faith. Faith is what led him and drove him in every time, every one of the sermons that we considered. Even when he had to confess his sin, when he took her down to Egypt, and when he identified her as his sister before the Philistines. But he showed his faith. Hebrews 11 confirms that. Hebrews 11 does not give us any help in understanding this history, but we don't need it because it provides us with all the knowledge that we need to know that Abraham was motivated by strong, powerful faith. What was that faith, and how did Abraham exhibit that faith in this situation? Well, Abraham had received promises from God, promises of a seed. But with that, God had given to him other promises, all the land of Canaan, to be a great and have a great name. He gave them other promises, that was in chapter 12. In chapter 17, the same thing. Sarah, thy wife, shall bear a son. Thou shalt call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. With his seed after him. And you're going to be a great nation, having multitudes. So he pointed to the stars in heaven and he pointed to the sand on the seashore. Can you count them? That's how many your seed shall be. But at this point, at 140, saw death in his wife, and now he wonders. Isaac doesn't seem to be making any move to get married. Am I going to die before that happens? And he saw his responsibility. So Isaac's still grieving for his mother, showing no inclination to take unto himself a wife. Abraham now accepts a responsibility to watch over this and to take upon himself the calling to find a wife for Isaac. When Abraham sends his servant to Chaldea, to the city of Nahor, which is named after his brother, then Abraham is not being racist because he will not let the servant find a wife or Isaac to find a wife from among the Canaanites. That's not a part of it. Abraham knew what history had taken place after the flood when God, through Noah, placed a curse upon Canaan. His son. Verse 25 of chapter 9. Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, here he is in the land where all the descendants of the Canaanites dwelt. He was to have that land when God would give it to him, but it would mean the dispossession of all of those Canaanites from that land. But here he is amongst them. They're cursed. He cannot allow his son to marry one of the cursed descendants of Canaan. He knew where there were those who feared the Lord. Shem was still living. Shem, Noah's son, was still living. Shem was the one about whom God had said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, Canaan shall be his servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, that he may dwell in the tents of Shem." So he sent his servant to the area where they would find God-fearing people and a God-fearing young woman. One that could be a wife, a godly wife for Isaac. Now again, remember how Abraham was thinking of Isaac. This is the child, the son, that was born after he and his wife were incapable of having children. Miraculously, this child was the seed, not Ishmael, this child. 15 years after he was born, about 15, this is the child that God, according to Hebrews 11, God raised from the dead when God told him, "You must sacrifice him." With the knife raised, God stopped him. He was committed to obeying God, even to that end, believing that God would raise him from the dead if he had to sacrifice him. This is the child that God said, "This one is so precious." But he now, at the age of 40, no wife. As a godly parent, it wasn't that he wanted his child to live about him and around him, but he was concerned about the fulfillment of the promises of God to him and to his son. And it was so important that a godly wife be found who would move to Isaac that Abraham answers the question of the servant, "What if none will come?" If none will come, then you're lifted of that oath. But Abraham had every confidence. God, he even words it this way, God will send his angel. God will find one, and God will make her willing. If God could give you life from our dead bodies, if God would have you to be preserved from being sacrificed, and God identified you as the one through whom all the other blessings would come, then God will provide you with a wife. God will send his angel. That was Abraham's faith. So Abraham's confidence was not in the girl, but his confidence was in God. Look at verse 7. "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and sware unto me, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." In Abraham's mind, the doubt that the servant raised was not even remotely possible. He was absolutely convinced that God would provide one. An angel of God would come and get her. The God, Jehovah God of heaven, is how he identified him. The servant took 10 camels, took some jewels, and he made this long journey all the way back to Nahor in the land of the Chaldeans. He was wanting to be sure that he would be God's agent, and it would not be, well, I'll try to figure out who's the best one, but I want God to show me the one he wants me to bring back. So that's his prayer in verses 12 through 14. Jehovah God of my master Abraham. Maybe we ought to stop a minute and parenthetically note this. That this servant was also a man of faith is evidenced that Abraham taught his whole household. It wasn't only his own children who were circumcised. It was his whole household, the ones that he bought and or were born among him. Every single one was taught. Genesis 18, verse 19, that very familiar passage. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Abraham taught them all. God used that instruction as the instrument through which he gave to the servants this faith. So he prays, Lord God of my master Abraham. Second implication of that identification is this. Oh, if only Lot had had that attitude. This is Jehovah God of Abraham. Abraham is the chief representative of God. God appeared to Abraham, not to Lot, not to the other servants, but to Abraham. They were to find themselves surrounding Abraham. The servant did, not only because he was owned by Abraham, but because he wanted to be there. Lord God of my master Abraham, send me with good speed this day and show kindness, mercy is the literal word, unto my master Abraham. And now, I'm not going to pick the one. Lord, you pick the one. Here I stand by this well. It's the time of the evening when the ladies are going to come out, the young girls are going to come out and take water from the well to bring to the homes for the evening meal and for the night. When one comes and I ask her to give me a drink, and she not only willingly, non-reluctantly, but willingly does that, and then offers this. All he needed was a glass or two. But to give water to his 10 camels? I don't know how much water that was, but that young lady had to go down to the well, fill her vase, whatever it was, however large, walk up, empty it into the trough, go back down over and over and over in order to satisfy the thirst of those 10 camels. Let that be the one. Not an ordinary activity, an extraordinary activity. He himself, the servant, had experienced God's guidance, so that he is very conscious about wanting to do, again, not Abraham's will, not his will, but God's will in finding that wife for Isaac. He prayed. I I think I learned too late with our children to pray this kind of a prayer. And it becomes a part of my conversation now with young people and with my grandchildren. Don't become so anxious, but don't. You can never be too early in starting to pray. Make me ready to know what it is to be a godly wife. And make me ready to know what it is to be a godly husband. Not show me which one. Yes, that can be a part of it. But before show me one, show me what kind of a woman and what kind of a young man I have to be. Help me know what it is as a young man to be ready to lead her, to show her the way, to be ready to take the responsibility of leading her in the way of truth. And her, an attitude that would show what we're going to see in Rebecca. So this servant did not trust his own judgment. He did not put his confidence in what he was going to see. But he was very, very confident in God's promise to Abraham. Abraham's answer to him became a part of the driving force of this servant's attitude. God's covenant promises to Abraham and God's covenant relationship to Abraham and the promises that God made to Abraham. Jehovah God of my master Abraham. In verse 27, when he thanked God for bringing to him Rebekah as she fulfilled those promises, those requirements that he had laid out, he mentions this. Let's read verse 27. Blessed be Jehovah God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master, not of a wife for Isaac, but hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. His mercy. And the word truth here has the idea of his faithfulness. God has not left my master destitute of mercy. Mercy is that attribute of God whereby he knows this desire to bless himself. And because it starts in God in his attitude toward himself, when it comes out of God to his people, then it's that same thing, that earnest, deep-seated desire of God to bless his people. That the idea of mercy is that it comes in moments. Mercy comes in the next moment, mercy, in the next moment, mercy. God is blessing. Blessing, 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 blessing. And then when you put all of those blessings together, you've got faithfulness. Over and over, the scriptures put it that way. Lamentations 3. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is thy faithfulness. We sleep, unconscious of God. We wake up. And every time that we wake up, whether it be in the morning or whether it be in the workday or whether we stop at night, and we look up to our God and we see he is blessing and he desires fervently to bless. And God's never unsuccessful in that blessing. He's always showing. When we look up, we're going to see his mercy. And we add it all together. And it's his truth, his faithfulness. Thou hast not left my master without mercy. That can be said of all of us, each of us. Every stage of your life, in every difficulty of your life, in every trial, and in every experience of wonderful blessing, God is not leaving you without his mercy. Now it's worded that way, in a negative way. He's not leaving us destitute without. And that's a powerful way of emphasizing he's always giving you mercy. He's never not giving you mercy. We might not only taste it, always taste it as mercy, but it's always God blessing constantly, continuously. There's not a gap in his mercy. Some here, and then maybe not, then yes, and then maybe longer, and then no, no. It's all mercy, always. And that's the attitude that we have to have as we look up and appreciate it. He adds this as an evidence. I go back to verse 27. Blessed be Jehovah God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, Jehovah led me. Jehovah led me. And he led me to my master's brethren. The scriptures don't give us this detail, but to travel in a small group of only 10 camels, that great of a distance, was ripe pickings for robbers. God gave him safety. He was fulfilling the will of God for the seed of the fulfillment of all of God's promises. God led me. God will lead me back. And he led me directly to my master's house, my master's brethren. So conscious of that, so that then when the servant asked God to pick the woman, you pick the woman that I am to have to bring back. The servant was very convinced. But now notice the things that he requires of her. Show that she has an attitude of mercy. Show that she really understands what it is to be the recipient of mercy. So when it's required of her to be merciful to a stranger and not a little merciful, but abundantly merciful, ready to do all of the work of giving water to all of those camels and to all of the men that were with him. When she got done, if there was any temperature in that evening, she was sweating. She was willing to work. She knew hospitality. And all because she tasted mercy. And the inspiration for us to be merciful comes from our tasting that we are always being blessed. And so then she exercised that and exhibited that willingness to serve, to work, to be kind to strangers, to be hospitable. The servant knew that nothing was what we would call incidental when God showed his mercy. And he saw that again when she was asked, "Will you go immediately?" And she was willing to go. When the servant pleads for Rebekah to go with him, then she's eager to do that. Notice that we're told specifically that it was their custom to eat before you make your request and talk. So verse 33, there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I've got something that's too important for us to follow the ordinary custom and politeness that we're going to eat and then I'll talk. I am going to tell you why I'm here. What's my message? What's my mission? And then, almost, we would say, with so much detail, from verse 34 all the way through verse 49, he details the history. When he speaks of God blessing Abraham, and he uses the evidence of he's got men servants, maid servants, he's got camels, he's got all kinds of possessions, then he wasn't bragging up the riches of his master. But remember, this is old dispensational language, and in the old dispensation, those riches were an evidence of God's blessing. So what he was really indicating to these relatives, Laban and Bethuel and her mother, Rebekah's mother, what he's really detailing is God has greatly blessed. He left here. He went into a strange country, a country where he's living among cursed people, but God blessed him and will continue to bless him. There's no reason for you to think that he's going to lose his faith or mingle among the Canaanites and not be faithful to God. He sets before them all of this evidence of God's activity in blessing Abraham. And that God answered his prayer even before he finished in bringing Rebekah. So he hardly says amen, and he looks up, and he's got to ask her. As she comes up from the well, may I have a drink of water? And she voluntarily offers to give water to all of the men and the camels. Having experienced that kind of a blessing of God on his search, they went to bed, and the next morning he rose in the morning and he said, send me away to my master. Let me go now. The very next day, he's ready to return because, as he says it, my master prospered my way. Her mother and her brother say, can't you wait a while? It's not very clear from the King James Version translation in verse 55, but every commentator that I read said they wanted her and him to wait a year or up to 10 full months until God would fulfill that promise. Then you may go. No, today. Let's ask her. They did. And the damsel said, I will go. I will go. Again, the faith that God gave to Abraham's servant is extensive. Notice in verse 26, his gratitude. He bowed down his head and worshiped Jehovah. Verse 48, I bow down my head and worship Jehovah and bless Jehovah God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. The relationship, by the way, I should have said this earlier, is that when she identified herself is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. That made her Abraham's great niece. Nahor was Abraham's brother. Then comes Bethuel, Milcah her mother. It would seem that Bethuel is dead because of the role that Laban and her mother play in this. So Isaac married his first cousin once removed. She takes her journey, safety in the travel, and now the marriage. First this. Rebecca finds out that that's Isaac. She does two things. She puts on a veil. Isaac is not to be distracted by her beauty, her hair, her makeup, her dress, but rather, he is to focus on the gifts, the quality of her attitude and conduct, so that when the servant related everything that happened to Isaac, just as he did to Laban in verses 34 to 49, that's the same thing he repeated to Isaac. Isaac saw God's hand in bringing her to him. She put on a veil. Abraham is to be impressed with her spiritual qualities, her merciful actions, not what she looked like. Second, she lighted off the camel. That means she got off the camel. He's out in the field standing. She does not want to be high above him on a camel, so he has to look up to her. If this is to be her God-given husband, then her attitude is going to be one of respect. She's going to get off, and she's going to approach him on foot, evidencing her respect for the one that she believes God would have her to marry. All that she needed to know is that God led her to him. There's that little three words in Genesis chapter 2. God took a rib, and he made it a woman. He brought her to Adam. God brought Rebecca to Isaac. One of the most difficult things to do is to live well in marriage for years. It is work. It's work that always must be stimulated by the realization, God brought her to me. God brought me to him. God put us together. This is God's will. And in all of the marriage, we have to live in the consciousness that because God put us together, that requires the kind of conduct. We are to respond to him. When we're distracted by what might be things he or she does, no, we start with this and we end with it. God put us together. Isaac is in the field meditating. Literally, the word means he's communicating. He's thinking. He's speaking to God. He's dwelling with his thoughts. What were his thoughts? We don't know them specifically, but we can know what God has taught us about Isaac. And what is Isaac to know about himself? One, my parents were incapable of having children, and that's when God gave me to them. God identified me as the one through whom all of the promised blessings to my father are going to come. God saved me from being sacrificed. God has a purpose for me. And he knew about Abraham's commission to the servant. And he knew that that commission to that servant was that when he came back, and there's a woman on that camel that he could see coming, this is God's provision. This is the one God is giving to me. And he became thoroughly convinced of that when the servant relates to Abraham, to Isaac, everything that happened. This is what I prayed. And she did exactly what I prayed. Then he knew, without any doubt, he showed how he was led, how God showed his mercy and truth, how God identified Rebecca for him, and how she was willing to serve him and to leave immediately. And he took her. He didn't need all kinds of time anymore. He took her. He took her into his mother's tent. And that's not to be looked at in some mystical way, but rather this way. She was to take Sarah's place. No, it's not Hagar. It's Sarah through whom thy seed shall be called. Now, not anyone else, but it's through Rebecca taking Sarah's place as the mother of many nations through her. And then we're told very specifically, he loved her. What did he know about her? We don't even know if she took the veil off yet. So he could be attracted by her fairness. When he says, when the Bible says he loved her, that's the agape that every single one of us don't fall into, but have to learn. I am loved by him unconditionally, everlastingly. With that knowledge with which I am loved, I love him. But with that knowledge, I learn to love the wife or the husband that God gives me. He learned agape when he learned this is the one God wants me to have. And he was committed to her unconditionally. So his love was rooted in his awe for God and God's love for him. He loved her for God's sake. He loved her with gratitude to God. And that marital happiness that they had is the source of his being comforted for his mother's death. He didn't need to mourn his mother anymore. He had a wife. And together, they saw the calling not to meet their own needs, but to serve the Lord. Whether we're single or whether we're married, whether we're young or whether we're widowed or widowers, our calling is always that. I am alive to serve. Render grateful returns of ardent love to him who first loved us. Amen. Unto thee do we give thanks, Father, that we may know in thy providence that even though any one of us in our pursuit of a mate might not have had the lofty perspectives of Eliezer the servant or of Isaac, we may know that thou didst join us and bring us together. And then may we show our thanks and our love to thee by the attitude that we take toward each other. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, we thank thee. Amen.